I want to welcome you back. Today we're going to talk about the role of the minister in regard to sex-related topics. So if you're a minister, a life coach minister who is interested in this area of specialization, you're a therapist or counselor who would like to learn about the ministry side of this subject, I want to invite you to explore how to minister in this area of existence. When I graduated from Calvin Seminary in 1987, I can say that I was not prepared for ministry in this area. And yet, when I planted my first church in 1988, I found that this subject came up again and again. Subjects such as how to minister to those who have gone through sexual affairs. Subjects such as how to minister to those who are sexually abused. Subjects such as how to minister to those who were injured by pornography. Today that's even more prevalent because of the internet and how common it is and easy to access. I was surprised how to see that I had to minister to people who had sexless marriages, minister to people who are struggling through sexual immorality, and on and on. So this subject has not gone away in 3 decades, 4 decades since I started that first church. It's still with us, and with us it is. So let's talk about the role of the minister in this area. And the first thing to talk about is the role of God in sexual health. Christians, ministers, believe that God is the best source, the Bible is the best source of insight into every area of life, including our sexual identity and sexual practice. Studying the Bible welcomes God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit into human experience and teaches us how to flourish. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. God has breathed life into all scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right. By using scripture, a man of God can be completely prepared to do every good thing. We invite God in to the discussion. As ministers, we invite God in. We know His Word, the Bible, is useful to bring wholeness in this area. So let's talk specifically about the minister methodology in sex-related topics. First, God is invited into the bedroom and our sexual identities. Your sexuality and practice of sexual intimacy in the Christian marriage worldview is good. God brings insights through the Bible and discoveries of others who study the Bible in God's Word. Genesis 2, verse 24 and 25. That is why a man will leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife. The two of them will become one. The man and his wife were both naked, and they didn't feel any shame. So, God is invited to speak to His creation, humans like us, about sexual intimacy. God created male and female. God called it good. Brought Adam and Eve together. Moses said, for this reason, Moses reflects that marriage and sexual intimacy is a pre-fall state. This is in Genesis chapter 2. So as a minister, we come with, that's our grand narrative. Number 2, sexuality was created good. However, our sexuality is now fallen in sin. Since sexuality is hardwired in us, We need to deal with our fallen desires without getting negative on sexuality. 1 Peter 2 verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sexual desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." A minister understands that sex is fallen. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, it was a fault that affected their desire for pleasure, for sexuality. It changed everything. Is it created in us a war, even within our souls? And as wonderful as having sexual pleasure is, it's also potentially damaging to who we are and damaging of others. It has been a weapon. It has been a source of war. It has been a source of abuse. But it's also been, when doing it God's way, a source of happiness and flourishing for believers. A Christian minister gets that it's a fallen state of existence. Often, in the writings of the social sciences, they believe that sin is not a factor. They term things in different ways, deviance and dysfunction. And sometimes Christians, we use that, but deep down we know that sin is something that we need to be saved from, redeemed from, and in a discipleship or sanctifying way, even areas of sexual hurt and harm are something that the salvation, the power of God through Jesus Christ, those issues can be addressed through his presence and power and healing in our life. And ministers bring people to God even in this area. Number three. Healing conversations welcome God and the Bible's counsel. Past trauma is explored to discover the way of forgiveness, healing, new ways of thinking and experience. The role of personal responsibility is central. The client must want the Christian in biblical way. And you can read James 3, 13 to 17, and it talks about this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven. It is earthly and spiritual, of the devil. For where you find envy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder in every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. A Christian minister is into bringing the best, healing, avoiding bitterness, walking the way of forgiveness, taking responsibility for where we have done wrong. There's actually a morality to sexuality, and a Christian minister acknowledges we need it. When someone is caught in bitterness, the conversations are how to find the way of forgiveness. And in ministry, if I look at decades now, I've seen those who remained in bitterness. And what I've observed is a deep, dark path. They want justice, but they never receive mercy and never give mercy. Even I have seen some of the most amazing miracles. I think of people who have been abused relentlessly, and they've gone to therapists and counselors for decades. And then that moment when they just received the Lord's healing, where they were able to forgive, and where in that moment God healed them. And then sex for them in their marriage became released into new plateaus of joy, because the way of ministry is ultimately the way of reconciliation. Everybody is broken. The abuser is broken and the abused is broken. Now, am I saying that abuse doesn't matter? Yes, abuse matters. Am I saying that there should not be boundaries? Yes, there should be boundaries. Am I saying that this is some easy way? It's not easy. I just know that as ministers, we invite God into our chaos, and there's a lot of chaos. But when He is invited in, it is a game changer. Number three, the role of the officiant is emphasized. Confession, sincere vows, prayers are welcome. The minister opens each session with prayer. The minister helps give expression to confession and making amends. The minister helps people express vows of faithfulness and new direction. The minister helps develop the practice of prayer to invite God to bring healing. Each session closes with prayer. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a minister is powerful and effective. Early in my ministry, I might have opened quickly with a little prayer. But as years went on, I saw that when someone invites God into the very problem, and as a minister, I would say, okay, so we're going to talk about your sexless marriage today. Okay. And then we talk about it. And at the end, have a prayer where the couple is praying together with you. Lord, we want to have a flourishing sex life in our marriage. Oh, help us. And then the couple says that together. We ask you for insights. We ask you for that spark. We ask you for the habits that will create that. And then they pray and say amen. I'll tell you, that is a game changer. And it could be any of the subjects that we're talking about here. Help me to forgive that abuser. Help me, Lord. And to see that God shows up. Again, don't misinterpret me. I'm not minimizing the hurt and the sin. I just know that the way of the future is the way of forgiveness and seeing what God is doing and not staying in that role of the victim forever. You know, as sinners, God asks us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, God invites us to go to His throne. So the role of the officiant is an important role. I love that passage from James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other that you may be healed. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Number five, acknowledge your own brokenness as a minister. God gives broken people as redemptive voice, gives a redemptive voice because He has saved us and sanctified us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. As ministers, we don't have to be the experts. As ministers, we don't have to pretend that we ourselves have got it all together. Instead, we can share our own testimonies. One of the reasons ministers should have good boundaries is because we acknowledge our own brokenness. A male minister, I believe, should not meet with a female parishioner or a ministry client alone. Even a life coach minister, a male life coach minister, should not, especially in this area, talk about sex issues alone with a woman. You may call me old-fashioned, but it's out of respect. It's not that I'm way in the past about gender and stuff like that. No, it's respectful of our own brokenness. We don't want the devil to have an opportunity to malign the word, and we don't want to hurt someone. Do you know how much you would hurt someone is if while you're ministering, somehow you start a sexual affair? You may actually hurt that person for a long time, and in some cases, they may reject the faith because of your behavior. Number six, healthy boundaries are observed in short-term ministry is preferred. I talked about healthy boundaries just before in that last point, but short-term ministry is preferred. Gentleness and humility are ministry postures. Avoid the answer person. Share mini courses, web links, and other resources. Teach discernment. Galatians 6 verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself that so that you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each should test his own actions. So we talked about ministry boundaries before. But I want to talk in this point, too, about short-term ministry encounters. I believe a minister is not a therapist. There is a role for therapy, long-term discussion. And I'm not going to question the advances made in the social sciences to help people. But from the role of a minister, it's more, I believe, a short-term thing where we listen, we talk. Now, in the life case, coach, minister, it could be a longer relationship because there is a positive agenda and a plan. But in general, the concept that we are therapists is not us. We are ministers. We're here to point to the Word of God, and usually it's a very short time encounter. You know, one thing I think we can do is share websites. Share mini courses. There's mini courses at Christian Leaders Institute. Through this class, you'll go and see some. You'll go through some of the mini courses that you could recommend. I believe there are websites. There are web links. There might be a. Let's say you're dealing with doing counseling, or new marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling, and the couple is very nervous. And, you know, you've given them maybe some books on this subject, but they're still extremely nervous. Well, send them a link. Send them a link of a great story that can really bless them. It's that type of stuff that ministers can do. I actually believe the long-term relationships in this area are dangerous, and we should stay generally away from this area because, again, it's an area where the devil can get such a foothold. Number seven, a commitment to study this subject, to grow personally and to help others grow, and join you in sharing the good news in this area. Jude chapter 3, dear friends, although I'm very eager to write you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. In this area as a minister, it's just an area to keep growing. If you're a counselor, you know that you have continued education. If you're a minister and you want to minister in this area and this area comes up often, keep studying. There's a lot of stuff in this area. And in the next sections of the reading, you're going to see how social sciences interprets all of these things. And social sciences has their ministry, they call it treatment, in these areas. And we would disagree. If somebody wants to look at what the Bible says, there are different answers. Now, one thing about our role, we are not going to be judgmental about how people are taking these different answers right now. But if they're interested in Jesus Christ, we're going to share Jesus Christ. He will change their hearts. He will put a different spirit in them. One thing I've seen at Christian Leaders Institute is the transformation that's come through the power of the Holy Spirit in areas, and even in these areas, I believe that God has a voice in sexual intimacy related areas. And I believe as ministers, you may have a role used by God to bring wholeness and healing in the lives of so many people who will seek to glorify God, will seek to enjoy the pleasures that God gives, and you as a minister will be blessed and enjoy your role in bringing transformation, pointing to Jesus Christ, our Lord.